Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a beginner-friendly glue workflow in Ableton Live 12 for that VHS rave color, the kind of sound that makes jungle and old-school drum and bass feel like it came off a worn tape from a 1994 rave. And just to be clear, we are not trying to crush the mix into a flat, super loud master. We want cohesion. We want attitude. We want the drums, bass, and atmosphere to feel like one performance. That glue is what gives the track its identity. The kick and snare should hit together. The bass should feel locked to the break. The high end should feel unify, a little softer, a little dusty, but still alive. If the track sounds like separate clips pasted on top of each other, the vibe falls apart. If it feels like one world, now we're talking. So let's keep this simple and practical. We're going to build a light mastering chain on the master track using stock Ableton devices. The order we'll use is a Q8, glue compressor, saturator, optionally drum boss or roar, then utility, and finally limiter. That's enough to get a proper intro glue workflow without getting heavy-handed. Before we even touch the master chain, we need to check the mix itself. This part matters a lot. Mastering cannot rescue a broken balance. As a beginner rule, aim to leave some headroom. If your mix is peaking around -6 dB before mastering, that's a healthy place to start. Make sure the kick and bass are balanced, the sub is mono, and nothing is clipping in a wild way. In jungle and old school DNB, you especially want the snare to feel strong, the bass to support the break, and the atmospheres to sit in the background without taking over. Now let's put EQ8 first on the master track. This is just for gentle cleanup, not drastic surgery. Start with a high pass around 20 to 25 Hz to remove rumble that you can't really hear, but that still eats headroom. If the track feels boxy, you can try a very small dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe just 1 or 2 dB. And if the top end feels harsh or too digital, add a tiny high shelf reduction around 8 to 12kHz, something subtle like half a dB to 1.5 dB. The idea is to make room for the breakbeat and bass to breathe, while keeping that warm vibe intact. If you hear a huge change, you're probably doing too much. On the master, less is usually more. Next comes glue compressor. This is where the track starts to feel like one piece. Set the ratio to 2 to 1. Attack around 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.3 seconds, and adjust the threshold so you're only getting about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. That's the sweet spot for this kind of work. If you turn on soft clip, you can get a slightly denser, more vintage edge. Listen for the drums becoming more connected, the bass locking in better, and the whole track breathing together. If the snare starts losing attitude or the break feels squashed, back off. In jungle, the snare is not just another sound. It carries the energy. If the compressor dulls that, the groove loses its punch. After that, add saturator. This is one of the easiest ways to get VHS-style warmth and harmonic thickness using only stock tools. Start with about 1.5 to 4 dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and compensate the output so the volume stays roughly similar. Saturation adds harmonics, which means the kick and bass feel thicker. The breakbeat texture comes forward, and pads and stabs get a warmer edge. For this style, you want gentle grit, not obvious distortion. Think slightly baked tape, not fuzz pedal. A really useful habit here is to bypass and re-enable the device while listening to the intro and the first drop. If the intro feels more cohesive and the drums sound warmer without losing clarity, you're in the right zone. Now, if you want a little extra character, this is where drum boss or roar can come in. For beginners, drum boss is the safer first choice because it's easy to understand and very effective on drum-heavy music. Keep the drive modest, maybe around 3 to 8%. Add only a little crunch if needed, and usually leave boom off on the master unless the track is too thin. You can also bring transients up a touch if the break needs more snap. Roar is more experimental and can add interesting harmonic density, but for a first pass, drum boss tends to be the more classic old-school move. The key here is subtlety. We're adding character, not flattening the life out of the drums. After the color stage, add utility. This is a super important step in drum and bass because low-end phase issues can ruin the power of the track fast. Keep the sub-bass mono. If the mix feels too wide, bring the width down slightly, maybe to 90 to 95%, but don't overdo it. The center of the track should stay strong. Kick, snare, and sub should feel anchored, while the breaks, pads, reverbs, and effects can carry the stereo haze. For VHS rave color, you absolutely can have width and atmosphere, but if the low end gets widened, the whole track can lose its punch and feel facey. Finally, add limiter at the end for safety. This is not there to smash the tune. It's there to catch peaks and prevent clipping. Set the ceiling to -1.0 dB, leave the look ahead at default, and only raise the gain enough to gently control the peaks. You want the limiter to work lightly, not clamp down all the time. If the snare starts flattening, that's a sign to pull back on earlier compression or saturation. A good beginner goal is clean, punchy, and controlled, not aggressively loud. Now let's talk about the intro specifically, because that's where this workflow really shines. Jungle and old school DNB intros often have vinyl noise, atmospheres, dub chords, pads, chopped breaks creeping in, little effects details, and maybe the sub drop or rave stab. The mastering job here is to make all of that feel like one atmosphere. If the intro feels too clean, a little saturation and mild top-end softening can make it feel more nostalgic and unified. If the intro feels too dark, you can restore a tiny bit of air with a gentle high shelf before the limiter. But the goal is always cohesion. The listener should feel like the track is already in motion, like they've stepped into a room that already has energy. Here's a very simple chain you can copy as a starting point. On the master track, use a Q8 with a high pass around 22 Hz, a small cut around 300 Hz if needed, and maybe a tiny shelf cut around 10 Hz if it's harsh. Then glue compressor at 2:1, attack 10 ms, release auto, and around 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Then saturator with about 2.5 dB of drive and soft clip on. Then drum bus at a very light setting, maybe around 5% drive and 10% crunch, with boom off or barely there. Then utility with width around 95% if the mix feels too wide, keeping the low end mono. Then limiter with the ceiling set to -1 dB. That's a very solid beginner template. A few common mistakes are worth calling out. First, compressing too hard. If the glue compressor is pumping aggressively, the groove can lose its impact. Second, saturating the bass too much. Sub can get cloudy very quickly, so keep saturation subtle. Third, making the master too bright. Old school DNB often has a slightly softer top end than modern polished drum and bass, and that's part of the charm. Fourth, widening the low end. That usually weakens the center and makes the track sound less solid. And fifth, trying to fix a bad mix on the master. If the kick and bass fight each other, or the break is harsh, go back to the mix or the drum group. Mastering is about enhancement, not rescue surgery. Here's a nice coaching mindset for this whole process. Low-risk enhancement. You are not reinventing the track. You are helping the existing vibe read more clearly. Do one change at a time. Add a device, listen, and decide. Use short A/B checks, ideally on the intro and the first drop. Listen at a lower volume too, because VHS-style color often feels right when the track still has identity quietly. And always watch the snare first. In this style, if the snare loses attitude, the whole record can feel weaker. If you want to push the vibe further, a lot of the magic can happen before mastering. Add texture in the mix with vinyl distortion on ambience, erosion for gray top-end detail, chorus ensemble on pads, or very gentle redux on effects. Use echo with filtered repeats on atmospheric elements. If you do more of that color work earlier, the mastering glue only has to hold it together, which is exactly what we want. And finally, a quick practical exercise. Build a 16-bar intro in Ableton Live 12 with a chopped breakbeat, a subline, a VHS-style pad, some vinyl noise or room ambience, and one rave stab or vocal sample. Then put a Q8 on the master and cut the rumble below 22 Hz. Add glue compressor and aim for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Add saturator with around 2 dB of drive and soft clip on. Add utility and reduce width slightly if needed. Finish with limiter at -1 dB. Then bypass the chain, turn it on again, and ask yourself, does the intro feel more unified? Does the break sound like it belongs in the same room? Did the sub stay solid? And did the top end get smoother and more nostalgic? If the answer is yes, you're doing it right. So the big takeaway is this. For intro glue workflow in Ableton Live 12, the goal is to make your jungle or old school DNB track feel warm, coherent, and slightly worn, without losing punch. Use a Q8 for cleanup, glue compressor for cohesion, saturator for tape-style harmonics, drum bus or roar for extra character, utility for stereo control, and limiter for safe final peaks. Keep the sub controlled. Preserve the snare, add warmth instead of mush, and let the intro breathe. That's how you get that VHS rave color without overcooking the master. If you want, next I can turn this into a copy-ready Ableton master chain preset recipe or a full jungle mastering template with exact device order and macros.